Welcome to Speaking of Grace, the weekly message podcast from the Whole Life Church in Orlando, Florida. We're a multi-ethnic, multicultural, and multi-generational congregation committed to our mission of loving people into a lifelong friendship with God. We are committed to our vision of being a church without walls, fully engaged in serving the people of our community. Thank you for joining us as we continue Speaking of Grace.
Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026, first Sabbath of the year at Whole Life. And for those of you who have been here for a couple years, you know, we like to go big. We like, my staff is so excited. They're like, yes, let's go big for Christmas and then immediately go big right in January. They love it. Trust me, I love it. It's so fun. We just have such a good time here at Whole Life, and we are so excited to be celebrating a brand new year. Whatever 2025 was, let's just put that in the rearview mirror. If it was great, it's in the rearview mirror. Savor it. If it wasn't great, what lessons do you learn? That's always what I ask my kids, what I ask myself. What lessons did I learn from that? So wherever you're at, you're here. And no matter where you are always in God's presence. But I like to think that when you're here with the body of Christ, the church together, you feel Christ a little bit more. And so that's what we're praying for you this Sabbath day as we start off a brand new year with Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we love you. Jesus, we thank you for your gift of grace and your gift that gives us the hope of eternal life. And Lord, we are grateful for that. Holy Spirit, we pray for your filling today. We pray that you would open our ears to hear your message, not Ken's, and that Ken would speak on your behalf today. We pray in your name. Amen. I don't usually refer to myself in the third person, but it's a new year. Maybe I'll try something new. All right. Have you ever tried to put yourself in the shoes of Jesus' disciples, people who follow Jesus? Have you ever imagined being one of them? Have you ever imagined being Mary or Martha or Lazarus or John or Peter or Nathaniel or, I don't know. Have you ever tried imagining being them? What would it have been like? Have you thought about what it would feel like to watch Jesus heal someone? I mean, somebody that you knew, maybe you grew up with the person, they had been blind their entire life and you knew it. You'd been around them, you knew that. And you introduce them to Jesus and suddenly they have their vision back. I don't know about you, but I know as a pastor, there's a lot of times I pray for a lot of people for healing in their life. And I bring them to Jesus. And I long to see them be healed, to like be made well. And I wonder what it would have been like to actually physically watch that happen, the feeling of joy, especially if you're the one who brought them to Jesus. Like, hey, Jesus, here's my friend. Can you do something? Of course I can. Have you ever thought what it'd be like to have been out on that Sea of Galilee when it was full of waves? I don't know how many of you have been in a storm in a boat, small boat. Not a fun thing. I've done it. Don't recommend it. But have you imagined being in that boat, being tossed all over the place? Jesus isn't in the boat. Then he comes walking on the water. You watch Peter. I can do it. You're like, I bet he won't. See Jesus immediately lift Peter up out of the water, get on that boat, calm the storm. Man, be at the tomb with Lazarus. There's some tombs, some graves you'd like to go to and have Jesus stand there and bring forth that person you love. Have you ever imagined? Have you ever imagined being there with Jesus 2,000 plus years ago? I do. I imagine it. And so when I stumble across this verse from Jesus, I wonder how the disciples felt. I know how I feel when I read it. I tell you for certain that if you have faith in me, you'll do the same things I am doing. You will do even greater things now that I'm going back to the Father. Really, Jesus? Okay, I can see us doing greater things with you here with us. Lead on, Jesus. You're here with us. Lead on. But wait a minute. You're saying we're going to do greater things because you're going back to the Father. That does not make sense. By the way, how do you do things better than God? How do you do greater things? It's a challenging assertion by Jesus, isn't it? 2,000 years later, are we doing greater things than Jesus? I think we are. But let me go ahead before somebody starts a party to stone me. Not literally, because we don't live in that world anymore, but, you know, the viral kind. Let's slow down and look at the text carefully. I tell you for certain, if you have faith in me, you will do the same things I am doing. We read that in English, and you may read it as singular, but in the language it was written in, it's plural. The you is not a singular. The you is y'all. So it's Southern. So I'll translate it for you. I tell y'all for certain that if y'all have faith in me, y'all will be doing the same things I am doing. Y'all will do even greater things now that I'm going back to the Father. Does that begin to... No, okay, that's fair. Let's keep going. Let's take it apart a little bit further. So we got the y'all part of this, right? Greater. What does that mean, greater things? Well, most theologians are going to tell you that when you translate this word greater, it's not referring to quality. The word is not about quality. The word in the original language is about quantity. You following along? Like, we're not going to do more quality things than Jesus. Jesus did things perfectly, okay? But quantity. Keep in mind, while Jesus was here on earth, he had himself, 12 close disciples, 72 kind of further out disciples. You know, at one point he feeds 5,000 men, so however many people that really is. So, you know, let's say 15,000 to 20,000 people are hanging out with Jesus. The Florida Conference has more members than that today, way more. So when Jesus says, y'all are going to do greater things, he's talking about something a little bit deeper. And I want to go back in time to a theologian that you may have heard of by the name of Martin Luther. Martin Luther said this about this particular passage. Luther said, miracles, of course, are still the least significant work. Did you hear that? Miracles, in Martin Luther's opinion, were the least, and for me, I like to give them a lot of significance, right? I like the miracles. Let's do some miracles. I like that idea. But Martin Luther says, miracles, of course, are the least significant works. And as I ponder that quote this week, I really had to say I agree with him. I think that is the least significant work. It's not insignificant, but it's not the most significant work. Let us consider the true great works, the gospel, the good news of God's grace for humanity. Baptism, the sacrament, by means of which Christians convert people, snatch souls from the clutches of the devil and wrest them from hell and death and bring them to heaven. And if I might be so presumptuous, is to add to one of the great church fathers, I think heaven is great, and I'm looking forward to it. But I happen to believe that Jesus came to give us a fuller life now. And so when we go and share the gospel with people, it's not to make their life more miserable or more burdensome, because my Bible says, Jesus says, my yoke is easy. When we share the gospel, we don't do it so that people can just simply go to heaven and they're going to have to just, you know, suffer through all the things that religion imposes on them. No, we share the gospel because we believe that in the gospel, whole life is found, wholeness, a better life, not an easy life, not a perfect life, but a better life. I believe people are better with Jesus. And I believe that when cancer strikes and when death strikes, when you lose your job and when you lose your family, I believe that Jesus being anchored in your life makes you able to weather those storms better. Not easy, but better. If you don't believe that Jesus is some sort of magical Santa Claus to fulfill all your want list, but you believe rather he is an intimate friend who walks with you through life's hardest moments, then you're beginning to understand the gospel. You're beginning to understand what Jesus came to give us. Not something we have to just wait for. We look forward to heaven. That's going to be great. Don't get me wrong. But a better life now. So these greater things that God wants us to do, could it be making people's lives better? Now, I'll be the first to admit, people in the name of Christ have often made other people's lives much worse. Okay, I'll own it. People in the name of Jesus, I don't even want to call them Christians, because in the name of Jesus, I will say that people have made other people's lives worse. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But I also want to be clear that the true gospel of Christ makes people's lives better. And at Whole Life, we don't think we have it all figured out. But our goal is to share that true gospel that will create greater things in people's lives. And there is a secret to it. Jesus didn't just say, when he says you will do greater things, it's not because I'm going to do greater things, because I'm going to try harder, because I'm smarter, or anything like that. Jesus gives the answer right in the next verse. He says, ask me, and I'll do whatever you ask. He's saying that in the context of the greater things. We established the greater things weren't necessarily miracles, but they're changed lives. Ask me and I will do whatever you ask. This way the Son will bring honor to the Father and I will do whatever you ask me to do. That's a challenging thing, because at times I've asked God to do things and he doesn't operate on my timeline or the way I think he should. And that's where faith comes into this equation. It's the faith to say, if you don't do things the way I do, or if you don't do things at all the way I think they should be done, I still believe. I still trust you. It's hard, but I trust you. So my question for you today is, do you believe that we're going to do greater things than Jesus? I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to believe him. Because Jesus said, you will do greater things, and the way you will do it is through me. You'll ask me, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to do those things. And I love this quote from Thomas Aquinas. He says, the strongest sign of great power is when a person does extraordinary things not only by himself, but also through others. You know, in the leadership training that I've done, one of the things that they always emphasize is anybody can do things on their own, but it takes somebody special to help other people accomplish things. You know, you can run around and do all the things, That's not leadership. Greatness really comes when you inspire other people's, and that is what Jesus has done. God's power is more manifestly great when he shares his knowledge, power, and happiness with others. I love that quote. God's greatness is not simply in that he did it, but that he invested in us and said, you can do greater things. If you don't mind, I like to pick on Andy when he's here. So Andy, I'm going to pick on you a couple times in this sermon. But one of the things that I am grateful, for those of you who for whatever reason, don't know the great Andy McDonald. Yeah. Andy was our lead pastor here at Whole Life for 37 years. Yeah. 37 years he led this church. And I think that one of the things to me that makes Andy's leadership great is that when he retired, he's always been there to support me in whatever way I need. If I need a call, if I need a phone call, I've gotten encouraging emails and texts from him. But what makes Andy great is he's allowed the work that he did to live on through the people who have come after him, Amen. Who have come into this church and done things. And that's a small representation of Christ's ministry and what Christ is doing. Christ was on earth. He did great things. And for those of us who follow him, when we do those things in his name, it's greater because there's more people doing those things. When you think about the miracles, well, let's go ahead and go to the miracles for a second. How many people do you think Jesus healed while he was here on earth? I don't know. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000? How many people does Advent Health right across our hospital? We are the hospital church. No shade against any other hospital system out there, but this is our hospital system. How many people do you think Advent Health impacts on a daily basis? In positive ways, brings healing to. I think it's probably more on a daily basis than Jesus did in his entire ministry. And again, it's not about quality. Jesus did it perfectly. But it's about quantity. It's about people reaching out. It makes my heart happy when I go out in the community and I say, oh, I'm the pastor of the Whole Life Church. We're the hospital church. We were on their campus. Oh, I love Advent Health. When my mother was in the hospital, she passed away, but oh, the nurses prayed with me. There were Bible texts on the computer screens, and it really brought comfort to my soul when I was going through that. These are greater things, family. These are greater things. I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about all of us creating quantity of lives changed. You know, here at Whole Life, we are celebrating 100 years. And that's why we picked the theme Greater Things. Because what I wanted to say is not that we're going to do better things than what Andy did or the people before Andy. That's not what I'm trying to say at all. What I'm trying to say is we are going to take that foundation and expand on it. Not quality, but quantity. How can we do more than we've done in the past? How can we grow? And I love this quote, one of my favorite from Ellen G. White, one of the founders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church and somebody I believe God talked to. Ellen said, we have nothing to fear for the future except we shall forget the way the Lord has led us in his teachings in our past history. So would you mind if I take you on a really quick historical, really quick? We'll get more history later on in the year. This is our 100-year anniversary, so we've got to talk a little bit of history. In 1890, Orlando had about 2,500 people living here, about 2,500 people in the city of Orlando. And a couple Adventists, 14 to be exact, got together and started meeting in one of their homes. They grew to 25. They started worshiping in the Armory Building on Court Street. And in 1893, the Florida Conference was officially organized. Details, right? And then what happened is they started Advent Health, which was not what it was called at the time. It was the Florida Sanitarium and Hospital. And you can see some pictures. The one over there, is kind of the front porch of that hospital. And in 1922, a group of hospital employees said, we don't want to have to walk a whole mile Because remember, it was 1922. There weren't like Teslas then, for those of you who are not familiar with it, that could drive you wherever you wanted to go. And they said, let's start meeting on the front porch of the church. 1922, they started doing that. The group started meeting on the front porch of the church. And that is our beginning as Whole Life. That is us. You are the inheritors of that legacy sitting here today. And in 1926, that group was large enough that the Florida Conference said, we think you need to be a church. And so they made us into a church in 1922. And you can see some of the different buildings that we were with. In fact, you can go to one of the previous building to this is still standing. It's on Advent Health University's campus, and it's over across the street from us. Some of you actually worship there. We're a part of that church. In the early years of this church's history, it grew fast. There was one point where it grew to 800 members. And this is in the, like, I think 1930s or so. It grew to 800 members, and it was doing great. And then Orlando began to expand, and there were other churches that started being built. And slowly but surely, the church began to dwindle. Until they got into the 1980s, and they were struggling, just to be honest. They were struggling. Whole Life was struggling. And so they said, what do we do? What do we do about it? So there was a vote. They said, maybe we should combine with Crest Church, which is near here. And they took a vote. The church voted, Whole Life voted to do that. Crest said, nah, no thanks. And we're grateful today. At the time, it didn't seem like a blessing. But a young pastor, youth pastor, showed up here in the 80s. His name was Andy McDonald. I might have mentioned him a little bit earlier. And through Andy's leadership, allowing God to work through him, this building got built. The church is what it is today. It's this size today. And God has done incredible things through this ministry. In fact, one of the things I thought was interesting is my kids are mocking me because I've discovered AI, okay? And I love it. So I ask AI, tell me about Whole Life Church. What should I know about, I asked Google's Gemini this question. What should I know about Whole Life? And I want to read you a small excerpt of what it told me. It basically said, amongst Seventh-day Adventists, as far as membership goes, it's not even the top 20 membership churches in the United States. However, this is what it said. While Whole Life has a physical membership of roughly 1,300, the virtual reach is what truly sets it apart within the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. It is considered a leader in digital ministry, positioning itself more as a global hub than a local parish. I want to tell you, I think that matters. And here's why I think it matters, because I believe within Adventism, there are parts that don't always represent grace and acceptance and inclusion the way Jesus would want us to. And I don't say that with any, I'm not trying to throw shade or anything. I think that's true across Christianity. And I believe that Whole Life is here to be an example. That global hub matters to me. It matters to me because I believe more churches need to be inspired to say, hey, we can be inclusive. We can be grace-filled. We can walk with people on their journey rather than trying to manipulate and force them on a journey. Last year, we voted to amplify our mission and vision. We didn't change our mission. We just had a really great vision that Andy actually worked on. And it was such a good vision. Visions are things that, as I've told you before, they last a certain period of time and they move on. But this one was so good, we said, no, we got to make that a part of our mission too. And so we have updated our mission statement to be, we will be a church without walls, loving people into whole life with God. A church without walls. What that means is that when any church, Adventist or otherwise, calls up Whole Life and says, hey, how do you do this? How are you doing that? We say, here, this is how. We don't have trade secrets. We're about the gospel being amplified. Yeah. Here, let us tell you how to do it. This is how we do it. It may not work in your context, but this is how we do it. Maybe it'll give you an idea of something that will work in your context. And I want you to know that in the last year, I have had churches in Hong Kong, in Germany, other European, South America, reach out to our church and ask us questions about things, how we do. Lots of churches here in the United States have reached out to us and say, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? I'm proud of that. I'm proud of doing greater things on Jesus' behalf to grow the kingdom. I also want you to know that we have people from around the world that experience Jesus. There are people who don't have a church that they feel like they can go to in their community, and right now they're watching. You are watching because you know you have a home here. You have a digital home here. That's what it means to be a church without walls. It means we tear down walls. We look for ways to include, not to exclude. And that's why we updated our values as well. Our values here at Whole Life are inspiration. We're talking about all kinds of, you think, well, what about the Bible? Yes, the Bible is. That's part of inspiration. Prayer is also. I think that a lot of times we will tell, churches will say our value is the Bible. But what about prayer? What about meditation? What about other spiritual disciplines? So we include in inspiration all those things. We're going to talk about that more later. Inclusion, what it sounds like. We believe that everybody belongs here. If you want to be here, we want you here. Involvement, intentionality, innovation. These are all the values that we have here at this church. And again, we're going to talk about them more later. We also want to see you take your next step with Jesus. And this is what we're calling our growth pathway. We're going to talk more about this in another sermon in this series later on, so I will get more into that. But this is what we're thinking when we're talking about how to take that next step with Jesus and how we're going to work together as a family to encourage each other on our next step with Jesus. And then finally, our vision for the next 10 years through 2036, Whole Life will amplify our culture of spiritual growth, wholeness, and inclusion through a vibrant network of over 100 churches and microsites. What does that mean? We'll come back for the sermon and I'll tell you, okay? Well, that will be in this series as well. Come back for that. Family, if greater things is our theme, and if we believe that Jesus said, not just you take the quality and put quantity with it, that's greater things, then we've got to be amplifying the message of this church. We've got to be taking it and sharing it and helping other churches do this and finding places that don't have churches that need this kind of a church for them. We've got to do it. And when I say we, I mean y'all. With the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, because we're asking. So family, in 2022, I ask you to arise. In 2023, I ask you to follow Jesus once you'd arisen. In 2024, I ask you to connect with each other, because I believe that in connection with God and with each other, we find overflow, which is what we talked about last year. And this year, I am asking you to believe that the last 100 years of this church's history were not its greatest years, but just the beginning. Because Jesus said, I came so everyone would have life and have it to the full, or have whole life.
Hi, this is Randy McGray, podcast producer and host here at Whole Life Church. Loving people into a lifelong friendship with God is our mission at the Whole Life Church, and our podcasts are designed to help facilitate conversations that help us grow together in that pursuit. Now that you've heard the message for this week, don't forget to check out the Whole Life takeaways for this message. Swipe up in today's show notes and join the conversation. Speaking of conversations, each Wednesday morning we take a closer look at the week's message. That's right, the one you just listened to. We discuss practical ways to apply spiritual lessons and ask honest questions about the issues we face as Christians, all focused through the lens of grace. Your voice is a welcomed addition to that conversation. We encourage your thoughts and your questions by sending a voicemail or text to 407-965-1607 or send an email to podcast@wholelife.church. You can find everything podcast related on our website, wholelife.church/podcast. And plan on spending every Tuesday evening and Wednesday morning with us as we bring you the Whole Life Church inspiration you love straight into your headphones. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.